Nature gone haywire, flooding, droughts, horrifying hurricanes, and terrifying tornadoes, rising sea levels. Negotiators on a new pact to reduce greenhouse gas emissions are debating the consequences of unchecked global warming on our planet. Famine, rising immigration, and war loom on the horizon, say delegates to this week's climate change conference in Copenhagen, and countries must cut back on pollutants now. Coinciding with the conference, the Holy See has released the text of Pope Benedict XVI's message for the upcoming World Peace Day, celebrated January 1st each year. The theme for 2010, if you want to cultivate peace, protect creation. The text of the message was released at a press conference in the Vatican Tuesday. Chris Altieri has more.
Titled, If You Want Peace, Protect Creation, Pope Benedict XVI's message for the celebration of World Peace Day is a reflection on the profound connection between the urgent tasks of peacemaking and stewardship of the natural order. The message places itself in the tradition of papal reflections and addresses on various aspects of stewardship, including Paul VI's early call to be mindful of the dangers of ill-considered exploitation of nature, to John Paul II's 1990 World Peace Day message titled Peace with God the Creator, Peace with All Creation, in which his predecessor warned of the dangers attendant upon a lack of due respect for nature and called for development of ecological awareness and concrete initiatives expressive of that awareness. Pope Benedict's latest message also touches on the need for prudentially guided long-term vision and intergenerational solidarity. The World Day of Peace is this coming January 1st, 2010. I'm Chris Altieri.
Emerge allora un primo essenziale aspetto del messaggio di Benedetto XVI, il quale ci propone una visione cosmica.
Well, at Tuesday's press conference, Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino, President Emeritus of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, hailed Pope Benedict's message as offering a cosmic vision of peace, which strikes a harmonious balance between God, humanity, and creation.
Benedetto XVI denuncia una vera e propria crisi ecologica.
The Cardinal went on to say that Pope Benedict denounces a veritable ecological crisis deriving from climate change, desertification, the degrading and loss of productivity of farmland, the pollution of rivers and oceans, and the increase in extreme weather phenomena. These in turn lead to a new kind of environmental refugee and can lead to conflicts over natural resources. The Pope's message, said Cardinal Martino, calls for profound ethical and cultural renewal. These crisis situations, whether they be economic, nutritional, environmental, or social crises, are also, the Pope affirms, moral crises. We are all responsible for protecting creation, and the Pope encourages families to begin educating their children to be ecologically friendly, starting in the home.
Come afferma Benedetto XVI, è infatti importante riconoscere.
Cardinal Martino noted that the Pope recognizes the historical responsibility of industrialized nations in creating the current ecological crisis, and in doing so, however, he does not exonerate less developed and emerging countries from adopting effective environmental measures and policies.
Benedetto XVI ci offre una lettura realistica e assai problematica, eppure mai catastrofica.
Finally, Cardinal Martino observed that Benedict XVI offers us a realistic and problematic, yet never catastrophic, view of the current environmental crisis. The Holy Father, he said, stresses the negative aspects of human conduct, but without ever losing hope in the intelligence and dignity of man. Well, thousands of delegates and environmental activists attending the Copenhagen summit are working on a framework that would determine how much carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases each industrialized country should be allowed to produce, and how much big developing countries like China and India should aim at restraining the growth in their emissions. I asked Monsignor James Reinert of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace if media attention on the world financial crisis means global warming has dropped off the radar screen and why it should continue to concern us.
I think, in a way, it hasn't made the idea of climate change go away. It has, in many ways, brought it to the forefront. The changes in gasoline usage, petroleum usage, especially in the last few months, but in the last couple of years, shows a sign that there is more awareness. Now, with the dropping of the prices of oil that we saw last summer, is that going to mean that people are going to feel more free to use more petroleum? Or is there an awareness now that there has to be something done? So I think that the two are going to go together, because for funding, for charitable giving, for all of these things, for programs that might combat climate change or at least study the cause and effects, science might see a downturn in those kind of things. So maybe there's a greater urgency in dealing with the climate change question in light of the financial situation that we see the world.
As the price of oil has continued to fluctuate in recent years, most of us realize it's only a question of time before there won't be any left. Will there be enough for our children or our children's children? Why can't we find alternatives to oil and coal? Much attention has been given recently to alternative energy sources like biofuels, but are they a magic wand or a Pandora's box?
From the information that I see and from many of the reports that we see coming across, that biofuels might be more of a problem than the overuse of petroleum products. In the United States, at least, I'm aware that there was a real question on the use of water and how much water it was going to take to produce the biofuels, rather to grow the crops and in the production of the fuel itself. We see in Southeast Asia where huge amounts of forest, where native forests, are being cut down for the production of palm oil. That's going to have a devastating effect, I think, on first of all, on the global climate, but secondly, on biodiversity, and third, if there is a real need for, or if there's a desire for, the bioproducts that these plantings are going to produce.
And all of this comes at a time when there are increasing concerns about the availability of food, enough food, to feed the world's population.
That, of course, has been a question in the last few years especially. We're seeing reports now of out of Haiti of the dire situation that the people have found themselves there. But in Africa and in other developing countries and in regions where there has been and there continues to be, and the real fear is that the switch to more production of grains or plants that for production of biofuels, biochemicals, that will take away from the planting of food crops. And when that happens, when people see that they can make more money selling their corn for biofuel than to sell their corn for production of food, it's going to be a real problem throughout the food cycle and the food chain.
Popes Benedict and John Paul II have both challenged mankind to be conscientious caretakers of the environment, yet it seems that we've really been failing at that task. It's enough to look at the thick blanket of smog hanging over Beijing, the eroding canisters of toxic chemicals discarded in our oceans, to know that we haven't risen to the challenge posed to us by these popes. What courageous steps would the Vatican like to see the world governments take to protect our world and prevent climate change?
Well, it comes down to just this understanding that the world can only put up with so much, that the earth can only deal with so much of our irresponsibility and our selfishness, that once mankind realizes that we can't freely dump into the rivers and the oceans, when we can't cut down forest for whatever purpose, we're seeing that again in the situation in Haiti, where they have deforested such a large part of the country that the land just isn't sustainable anymore. It can't sustain a crop. It can't sustain protecting itself from runoff or whatever might come along. And so until that's one of the things that we push, that we teach in the church, is that the responsibility of mankind, that solidarity that Pope John Paul spoke of so often, that we are truly all in this together, and that we cannot tolerate anymore this selfishness, this this unsustainable use of the natural resources of the earth with the idea that we're going to do what we can now and not worry about the situation for future generations.
Is the Kyoto Accord on climate change obsolete?
Until we bring everyone in, I truly believe that it will never be as effective as it needs to be. Until, and to a limit, the developing countries have to be brought into the obligations of Kyoto or some other treaty that might be devised, that might be workable. I don't know the percentages. I don't know the numbers. I know that we haven't met the obligations, or that we're not on a track to meet the obligations of Kyoto.
Notwithstanding the culpability of industrialized nations like the United States, the biggest culprits or polluters are the emerging third world countries such as China and India. And now we're, of course, seeing the former Soviet bloc states making an industrial comeback with outdated technology. To what extent is it the responsibility of the international community to help poorer nations acquire environmentally safe industries and practices?
That's one of the questions that the international community has wrestled with for so many years, where on one hand, the developed countries are working so diligently in bringing these developing countries forward, where at the same time, there's a reluctance to provide, in many cases, the technology that might be needed to take that great next step. And we see that as these developing countries exercise their right to development, that some of the practices that they use are not sustainable. And so there has to be a balance agreed to and held between the idea of right to development and a right to use the resources that are available, rather than to find new sources of energy or new sources of production that aren't so detrimental to the environment.
China recently surpassed the U.S. as the biggest producer of greenhouse gases, and many nations are calling on Beijing to do more to curb emissions. The United Nations has called on wealthy nations to give $10 billion annually over the next 3 years to help poor countries, much to be used to build things like seawall barriers and infrastructure to combat rising sea levels or the effects of drought.
The Holy See, in its own small way, is trying to diminish the size of its environmental footprint by installing solar panels on the audience hall's roof, introducing a variety of energy saving and environmentally friendly cooling and heating services. Do you see the Vatican acting as an example for others to follow, whether they be businesses or governments?
I think to a point, yes, that now they had the kickoff for the celebration of the new solar panels on the audience hall. I'm just not certain. I've read two different items, or we talk about these things, how much energy that's going to provide for the Vatican or for the audience hall itself. But it is going to be an example for people to see that, you know, you have this space, whether it's solar energy, wind energy, hydro, whatever it might be, that we do truly have to take those next steps in finding alternative sources of energy.
Yet most of these emerging energy-saving and environmentally friendly technologies are very costly to the average person to install. So what is the answer?
I think initially costly, but from what I understand, that these solar panels will pay for themselves in a few years through energy saving, that an array of wind turbines, although the initial capital outlay is a great deal of money, that they can generate the electricity to pay for themselves and become a cost-saving measure. So it's the initial outlay, it's the initial cost that we have to deal with, and maybe to bite the bullet, as it were, as it would be in other ways, so that we might pay for the development of a new nuclear facility. It's terribly expensive, hugely expensive. But when we see the impact that it might have on providing people with the electricity that they need, or cutting the use of fossil fuels, I think that, and the Holy See believes that it would be worth it in the long run.
I cambiamenti epocali avvenuti negli ultimi 50 anni evidenziano come nel difficile crocevia.
Speaking in July 2007 on the 50th anniversary of the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, Pope Benedict recalled the Holy See's membership in the agency since its founding and its commitment to its goal of accelerating and enlarging the contribution of atomic energy to peace, health, and prosperity throughout the world.
Per un autentico sviluppo rispettoso dell'ambiente e sempre attento alle popolazioni più svantaggiate.
With regard to nuclear power, the Pope said favoring the peaceful and safe use of nuclear technology for authentic development, respectful of the environment and attentive to the most disadvantaged populations, is always relevant and urgent.
A vantaggio di tutti gli abitanti, in primo luogo dei più poveri.
But hand in hand with nuclear development, says Monsignor Reinhardt, is the need to develop environmentally safe methods of disposing of nuclear waste.
Well, again, it's something that has to be developed. It's something that has to, we have to find the answers for it. We can't just continue in the non-sustainable use of and then. The unfortunate thing, the disposal of some of these things, that along with the development and along with the use, we have to find ways to lessen the impact.
Monsignor James Reinhardt is an official with the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace.